right, we got an early broadcast for everyone this week because Vince is going to Mexico to join a drug gang.
Yes, I
it's
am.
It's exciting. Vince and I are just slowly recovered.
The Yolo Cholos.
We're just barely getting recovered from Beta Breakers, which is an epic party day in San Francisco.
Speak for yourself. I'm still feeling like dog. Like, you can hear my voice. My nose is all stuffed up.
Vince took a bath today.
Which... I've been a fucking mess for 3 days.
No, you took a bath, though, which is very rare.
Yeah.
This is Ben, a super blogger, maybe a little sick and under the weather. Vince is in the house.
Hey.
Future Hall of Famer Brendan in the house.
Hello.
And Brett, live from New York City.
You took a bath in your guys' shower?
Yeah.
Your guys' shower is gross.
No, I cleaned it when I moved in.
Yeah? Yeah. So you could take baths?
Yeah, pretty much. It helps.
Mama likes to relax.
We actually saw some movies this week, or at least Vince did. I saw Star Trek in IMAX 3D. And Vince saw The Hangover 3 as well, which he loved.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say you gave it an F or a D?
It's D minus, I think, would be my highest grade.
Have you ever given an F?
Yeah. Oh,
what
yeah.
was it? What comes to mind as an F movie?
Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III was like an F minus.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
It was that one with Charlie Sheen that Roman Coppola did.
Ah, okay. So that was F minus. Is that the worst movie you can remember
like,
seeing?
That one wasn't just bad. It was like I got angry that I had to sit through it. Like I was like, this is... Like I knew everything that it was trying to do within the first minute and a half, and it just did that for... What felt like 3 hours turns out it was only like 80 minutes or 70 minutes.
That's always a bad sign for a movie. We'll get into Star Trek later, but Star Trek, I felt, had a little bit of that for the last maybe 20 minutes or so, where the whole movie, I think, wasn't much more than 2 hours, but it felt like it could have easily been one of those 2.5 hour action movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get Laramie Legal on a bit later. And maybe play a voicemail. I don't know. I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. I'll play a voicemail.
You want to play a voicemail?
Sure.
Let's party.
We got a girl voicemail.
What?
Yeah.
Female voice?
I think.
Unless it's Monte Teo's girlfriend.
Can't verify that.
Hey, frat drunkards. This is Lisa Tim Mike, walking through the financial district of San Francisco. Yes, I'm one of your 3 female listeners.
How dare you.
And I take the BART every single day. And I've got to say... I miss all the crazy people by the time that I get out of Embarcadero. It seems like all the skin-toned, khaki-pants-wearing, fabulous Botox gay men and little haggard Asian women wearing raised beads, they don't really get off at Embarcadero and Soma and the financial
beef?
District. And I kind of miss them.
Some sort of beads.
They are replaced with
braised beef.
A lot of women with lots of perfume, guys with wire-rimmed glasses with that little plastic thing on the end of them. It's not as colorful. It's not as interesting. Conversations, not so much. So I'm just wondering about you guys, whoever, you know, maybe Brendan going to his job.
She's basically wondering if San Francisco gentrified all of our weirdos out of existence.
I think they only travel... At certain periods of the day.
Yeah.
So if you miss those windows, you're not going to see them. They're like certain, you know, they're creatures that only exist essentially at certain hours of the day.
Right.
Just like if you ever go through the middle of the Tenderloin is the sort of ghetto part of San Francisco, a lot of homeless people.
It's the Hamsterdam for you wire aficionados.
There you go. It is Hamsterdam. And it is sort of like that where a lot of shit seems like it's just pretty much legal.
Yeah, well, Dave Chappelle, in one of his famous stand-ups, he said, it was in San Francisco, and he said something about, like, hello, San Francisco, I love you. I've never been in a place where crack is smoked more openly.
Yeah.
Very true.
Definitely had crack smoke blown on me multiple times in Tenderloin, for sure.
It's the type of place, so if you cruise through there in the morning, say you're on your way to work, and it's before 9 a.m., probably not going to see a lot of activity. You do the same thing at 1 p.m., 3 p.m., you know, when everyone's sort of woken up. It's like Night of the Living Dead down there.
Yeah, so, it's like a lot of action during the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Even in our neighborhood, which is like one of the better ones, I was just walking through getting lunch today, like 11 or something, and just getting mad-dogged by random homeless dudes.
Oh, what were you doing?
Nothing. I was just walking.
You sure?
There's this guy that was doing that thing where he's just staring at me. And he was kind of on the fence where it wasn't totally obvious that he was homeless. He could have just been like some sort of construction worker, but I was pretty sure.
You were just mean mugging him regardless?
Well, I was pretty sure he's going to ask me for something. Otherwise, like, I don't know.
So it's instead, uncomfortable. You gave him a really dirty look and said, F off.
Kinda. Yeah, I was in a bad mood and I was like, stop eye fucking me.
Do you know how many tabs I have open at home? I'm thinking about all of them.
I take a bus that's particularly known for being very hobo-ish. And they're, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's
hobo erotic. Which one is that?
Yeah, I don't know. The 38.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in like the hobo code or whatever, but I feel like the hobo code is like, take all your shit, sit in the door, and actually sit down on the steps that lead in.
Make it really inconvenient for everybody.
Make it really inconvenient for people to get in and off. That's hobo code.
Brendan, I feel like you probably had to deal with this when you're bouncing, but I always feel bad for the bus driver who just has to sit there while some obnoxious homeless person just comes and just sort of like talks their ear off for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of that.
While smelling like a giant piece of poop.
Yeah, a lot of people will just come up to you and start telling you like their life story.
Yeah, they just want someone to talk to, and you're a captive audience.
Or they just start in the middle of a story, and like you can feel them desperate for you to agree with them, and then you're like, all right, I'll agree with you, even though I have zero clue what the hell you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, how are the homeless in New York?
Oh, so that's actually kind of interesting. It seems like, you know, San Francisco's got your full-spectrum homelessness, whereas New York's got... it seems like the low-level hustlers have sort of... have filled the niche of the high-level homeless here.
Yeah.
So you don't get a lot of high-functioning homeless people because the weather's a little more extreme. So you only really get, like, the slobbering crazies. And then everyone else is just sort of like a shifty hustler that probably has a home but not a lot of money.
Yeah, hey, what's the equivalent?
Offer schemes and tricks.
So the other thing is I feel like only in San Francisco can you give money to someone that you know is hustling you, and they get mad that you didn't give them enough. I got the BART hustle, which is, you know, BART is Bay Area Rapid Transit. It's like the system. And he's like, I got to get home. I got, you know, my truck got stolen, like blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I need $8 to get home. And I was like, I just reached my pocket. I had $2. I was like, here's two. He's like, I need eight. And I was like, well, I hope this helps. He's like, I need eight. And I'm like, hey, fuck you, man. Like, I'm giving you money, you asshole.
Find four more dudes like me.
Yeah. Find four more people that know this hustle and are still willing to give you money.
Oh, they got that in New York. They got
what's the New York equivalent?
No, they do the same thing. I got the one that was like my first night there, and she's like, my mom's sick. I need $7 to get uptown to go to the hospital or blah, blah, blah. And it was the same thing, and I gave her like $5. And she was like full on crying, so she was really selling it.
There's that's like the subway. They go car to car.
I don't know. My take was that whereas most of San Francisco's homeless feel like schizophrenics or legitimately insane people that may have never left here from the 60s. In New York, it seems like you get more actual desperate poor people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think what Brett said too, especially in the winter is in New York is not the place you want to be without a home.
Yeah.
San Francisco is going to get cold, but it's pretty rare you're going to die.
Just get a ticket to Hawaii, man.
Yeah, you get fewer like roaming street people and more people that live in abandoned building type.
Yeah, just why can't we just send them all to Hawaii, right, Vince?
Yeah, well, they could go there, you know, pay for
a
ticket.
Yeah, get a bus to Hawaii.
Smoke, just scav the.
Get it, smoke enough crack and you'll fly there.
No, I mean, stow away on a container ship.
Oh, that's what I was looking for. That's easy.
Yeah. Well, you could. You never know.
Yeah, have you ever done that?
Just pretend to be a container.
Didn't pay no attention to me.
I made them steal.
Yeah.
pretend to be a container. What's the matter with you, man?
I don't know. I'm very sick. And I got to get on a plane at like 7 in the morning tomorrow.
You're going to Mexico, though.
Crabo San Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
I haven't been to Mexico as a single person before. I don't know what I'm going to actually do there. I guess pretty much the same stuff. But
so different, bro.
I guess the same stuff minus the arguing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds worse to me, but hey, who am I to judge?
That's I don't know what it is about vacations, but man, I feel like vacations were just like argument starters when you're in a relationship.
Yep.
Mm. Well, it can be because you're sort of stuck in the same place, and if you don't have the same agenda of what constitutes fun while you're out and about... Then it just leads to like, why can't I just go fucking have some beers on the beach?
Also, two things. One, men and women don't seem to be able to get ready at the same speed.
No, very different velocity.
Very different velocity. And two, very different senses of direction. And sometimes, you know, you get adamant about certain directions.
Yeah.
And that both of those things can lead to fights. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you have a place in the Belushi family.
Hypothetically. Vince. How so?
You kid. Remember, that was his whole spiel from L.A.
No,
that?
He's talking about asking for directions. I'm just talking about, you know, you argue about which
like,
way is
north
which.
Versus south? Like whether there are?
Yes, whether there are. That's always a big question. How are there?
Are there ways to go?
Why?
Why are there? Also, I don't know if you guys heard the news.
Ooh.
The guy who invented the GIF.
Oh, yeah.
Doug GIF?
Doug.
Turns out Douglas he likes to be called Doug GIF.
Yeah. He claims it's GIF, which I refuse to accept. I'm sorry. Yeah,
so the guy that invented it.
Well, because it stands for graphics interchange format. If it was, he didn't give any explanation for why it's GIF. He's just like, it's GIF. Sorry.
I think the other thing, too, is I remember reading something about it where he liked that pronunciation because in his, for whatever reason, something about it made whatever, making it easier. So it was like, it was a GIF. It's a GIF to do it.
That's the snarky meme that's associated with it on Twitter thus far has been, it's not giraffe interchange format. Yeah, and all I can think about was how cool a giraffe interchange format would be.
I know.
Right?
Sorry, I'm a hack. I'll take the hack. I made that joke.
When I was doing a lot of, you know, Photoshop stuff and design and Illustrator stuff, I switched over. I thought I'd be a purist and go with GIF. And I made the change for a few weeks, and I was like, you know, I don't like this. I'm going back to GIF.
It doesn't feel right in your mouth.
Yeah.
Something about it. I don't know. Like, why would you ever not want a hard consonant? G. That's a good, strong consonant.
It's not a Jew idea.
Why would you ever not want a hard consonant?
So, Vince, was this two semesters at Ascot School or just one?
It's got the glottal stop. That's what you want. That's why the N-bomb and cunt are so vulgar sounding. They got those hard glottal stops.
You're a dirty sunt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, would you, if it was junt, do you think that would be as offensive as cunt? No way.
So, was this your favorite class?
Semantics of linguistics.
Yeah, word pronunciation semantics.
Mm-hmm.
Beacon Sounds 104.
Upper class. That's an upper class elective.
Well, they actually claimed it was linguistics, but I refused. I said, no, it's linguistics. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion either way.
Fine.
So anyway, what's up with Mr. GIF?
He says it's GIF. He didn't really explain it that much.
That's it? That's
he
the
just,
news?
Yeah, that was the news.
Was that the premise of the interview, or did that just come up and he was like, well, nothing else you've said has been interesting. Let's go with your takes on letter G.
Well, I think he won a Webby for it, right? Or something?
The what now?
He won a Webby. It was like they asked him about it because there's like some, he's accepting something at the Webbies.
Like a lifetime of... A lifetime achievement of...
Yeah, it's like a lifetime achievement award.
That's terribly sad.
His life has now meant something, Brett.
He's got a lifetime achievement award at the Webbies.
Whatever, he sold his patent to CompuServe. They don't need to be awarding with a fucking patent. He's made $1 billion since then.
Yeah?
Was there a patent on that?
Doesn't he deserve to, just for the reaction gifts alone?
Probably expired, but it used to belong to CompuServe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back when CompuServe was a thing, I think.
Ain't that a kick in the pants?
I mean, Vince, you watch more GIFs
mm-hmm.
than the average human.
I do. I am a GIF enthusiast.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
What's your favorite of the last...
Alice Eve's bouncing boobs.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, she's in Star Trek.
Oh, I don't...
Here, so I'll show
you. You put the pic of her on the review? I've never seen that girl before, but she's attractive.
Here,
he's going to his homepage.
You'll probably watch this thing for like 2 hours if I wait for it to speed up.
I guess he was at CompuServe. He didn't sell the patent, so he's probably got a pittance as an employee.
Yeah, there's no way he owned that, Brett.
Maybe you should open more tabs.
This is like a third as many as I normally have.
Yeah, Vince is world renowned for having a copious amount of tabs open simultaneously, and don't you ever, ever try to close any of those tabs. Brett found out the hard way. Almost lost his life.
He freaked out. It was like a different person. Like, he got briefly possessed.
Yeah. Like, Brett, you...
Is that
you,
from Star Trek?
You came inches away from losing your life.
He almost bit off three of my fingers. It was like a fucking... Like a router went spinning out of control, just like chewing through wood. And
look, man, if I lose those tabs, I'll never remember what was there. And then what?
And then the whole film drunk blogging empire comes to a screeching halt.
Then where will we be?
Hey, speaking of GIFs and how great they are, you know what I don't really like?
Me.
Is those tumblers that just like post a line of text next to them and then try like take credit through aggregation. And that doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the ones, they've all got like cutesy little like this is San Francisco brunch culture or whatever.
You mean where they just post a GIF with a word about it?
No, it's like this is me. There's like a whole. It's like a. I don't know. There's one for every goddamn niche group you can think of.
You're gonna have to explain that. You mean like reaction GIFs?
No. They're like blogs dedicated to like fucking
very specific groups of humans. Cultures.
Yeah. So. And it's like, then they just put like, this is me when, and they'll just like, it's a random assortment of GIFs.
Yeah. And then...
You haven't really seen this? They're all, you're...
See, they're just posting a reaction GIF is what you're saying.
It'll be like, my face when my boss tells me I have to work.
Yeah, exactly. That's a reaction GIF, yes.
Yeah.
But I like those because I can use them for later things.
The GIFs or the...
The GIFs. Their text is nothing for me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, why not just post the GIFs?
Fair.
GIFs are great.
That's a good point. All right, I'll go with you there.
Everything, nothing actively taking away from my enjoyment of an image played in repeat over and over again.
But everyone, no matter how stupid the joke, wants to put their own stamp on it.
I know. God, but no one's funny. It's like the people talking at comedy shows. Like, dude, you're not funny.
This is the world, Brett. That's the entire world you just described.
I know, I do that.
People trying to do things, and most people aren't good at them. That is.
Have you ever noticed that most people aren't that funny?
Yeah. Just most people aren't good at stuff. It's not,
if they were just quietly not funny and went on their way about it, just enjoying their lack of humor, I'd be cool with it. You don't have to go out there and shove it in front of everyone else.
Especially when you live in a city, you realize how much you take for granted very... very basic physical skills. Like, you know, I find myself so many times a day just saying things like, you suck at standing in line.
Yeah.
You suck at exiting a bus.
Yeah.
You fucking suck at walking into a restaurant and ordering food. You're terrible. You are the worst person I've ever seen at going into a restaurant and looking at the menu and ordering food. I've never seen anyone as bad as you. You have utterly failed the simple task of walking into a restaurant, standing there, looking at the menu and ordering.
That's like my
this
thing.
This is baffling to you.
That's like my thing where you just you have a nemesis and that has no idea that they're your nemesis, but you just, like, there's something about them where you, like, don't like the way they stand. Or actually, last night I sat next to that black British guy, the other film critic guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who is just
your best friend,
the most obnoxious man, one of the more grating men. Just because he sits down next to you and then he'll talk with people. And it's like two of the most boring film critics in the world where they have, wherever all their opinion is like the, you know how there's just like the standard line that you hear from every
critic?
Like, there's a top of the bell curve for opinions.
Yes.
And all of their opinions fall into like that perfect top of the bell curve.
Yes.
That's this guy. And so to hear him express.
Air is nice to breathe.
Yeah, to hear him constantly express the most obvious opinion known to man is just the most grating thing.
But see,
you know what I find helps when you're hungry is you put food in your body.
Yeah. He's like the Tom Friedman of...
as long as you say it with an air of gravity to it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's saying the most obvious observations in the world like as if he's discovering them for the first time. You know what I mean?
Have you noticed? I don't know.
Yeah.
Popcorn's good at movies.
Yeah. You want to hear something disturbing that I found out about myself and my relation to human beings along those lines?
Uh-huh.
So, in crossing the street, there are two sets of people. crossing the street illegally. There's the people that are mad at the world and will do it with an aggressive sort of movement. And then there are people who don't realize it's happening because maybe they're looking at their phone or they're listening to whatever garbage music those morons listen to. But I find that I much prefer malice or outward contempt than I do incompetence. Like, I have much, much higher tolerances for the people on the opposite side of the bell curve than the people who just sort of like tripped over the bell curve and are surprised that you almost hit them with a car. It's like, look, I'm going to honk at you because you're crossing the street. The reaction I want from you is anger and not confusion.
Well, yeah. It's people that are angrier make more sense because it shows they've been paying attention.
Right, exactly. I want them to participate in the reality and hit them with a car.
I think Brett can also relate a lot more easily to anger than to obliviousness.
Yeah.
That's Brett's wheelhouse, really.
Where he just has his pulse like going 120 beats a minute all the time and is like sweating.
I see things through mouse eyes.
Oh, there is the reaction that bugs me where if I'm driving a car and you almost hit someone.
Hey, Smokey.
Smokey, get him.
And you almost hit someone and they give you a look like, why are you trying to hit me, man? It's like, dude, I'm not trying to run you over in my car. I promise.
Brett, how do you feel about the ones that aren't malicious crossing the street, but they're like maliciously slow?
Oh, I like to inch up real close.
Hey, come
yeah.
Here.
I want to make sure that I maintain a presence in their simple stegosaurus minds because it's only the size of a walnut, so they might have already forgotten that I was there to begin with when they started crossing the street illegally. So I just want to make sure, like, if I could trail them, if I could, like, just do, like, a wide U-turn and just go with them across the crosswalk in my car. And, like, you know, I like walkable cities. I think city centers are no places for cars. But this is, like, aggressively stupid behavior. Like, there are going to be people killed, and I'm not going to feel super bad about it.
And is this in your new neighborhood? Where do you notice these things?
Yeah, pretty much everywhere. Yeah. I mean, the amount of times it happens makes me think that people are getting clipped on a near daily basis just because they're not even looking up from their phones.
And how often do you think you're pushing people into the street?
I would say on a near daily basis.
Okay.
So, I'd say it's probably 1-to-1.
Well, I feel like New York's like San Francisco in the sense that there are people that are pedestrians that don't drive at all and sort of, you know, they're sort of almost oblivious to the fact that there are cars around.
I don't see how you could get in that state of mind. Like, you would have to, I mean, the fundamental reality is there's a big chunk of metal on little tiny wheels and possibly going very fast. Like, that should be reacting in your lizard brain. Well, you should understand that is not something you want to be a part of.
It doesn't even need to be going fast. If you get hit by a car that's going 8 miles an hour, it's going to fuck you up.
Right. I mean, what part of that does not trigger some sense of alarm when that's about to happen?
Unless you jump up on the hood and you kind of surf on it, and then it's awesome.
Or if they're going fast enough and then you jump really high and the whole car goes underneath
right,
you.
Right, right.
And you turn into a dragon in midair, you fly away.
I'm always surprised that there's not more car accidents, like a significant amount more.
Because
most people are such terrible drivers. Yeah. I'm surprised they're not just banging into stuff constantly.
Yeah, I am acutely aware of all the damage that could happen at any point every time I get behind the wheel. Like, that never leaves my head.
No, me either. I just mean, I drive around and...
But I mean, like, safety-wise. I mean, like, constant terror-wise.
Mm. Well, it's I think of it
as a nightmare in this head, man. You don't want to be in
you
here.
You don't want to be in here
you
for
don't
one second.
Be between these two ears.
It's more like what Brendan said, where, you know, he's behind someone in line, and it's like, you are the worst sandwich orderer in the history of ordering yeah. sandwiches.
I got that in Texas a lot. I mean, I don't know if it seemed like it would have been tourists and not actual Texans, mostly at South by Southwest, but I definitely remember being in line where someone would get to the front of the line at Starbucks after standing in line for 5 minutes and go,
huh.
Oh, what do I want?
Huh.
You're like, I want to stab you in the neck right now, huh. is what I want.
So your Frappuccinos, those are the cold ones, right?
Yeah.
I guess they just do things slower.
A double pour of your own death.
Hot or cold? What do you think, Starbucks worker?
What do you do? You go to school out here?
Oh, that's always the worst when the customer aggressively initiates meaningless conversation.
Yeah, with other people in line.
Oh no! With the once you get to the front, it's like one thing.
No, I mean they're doing that. They're engaging the clerk in small talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, look, I'm not saying be an asshole. But, you know, you can say, hey, how's your day going? But you don't need to go on some long.
Just be aware that there's other people.
There's other humans.
Places to go.
One of my favorite lunch spots near my office is a Mexican place. It's a pretty good, you know, taqueria style place. And man, it's we're right in the middle of downtown, so you get a lot of A, tourists and B, convention goers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right, I mean, there. I can't tell you how many times I've been in line, like, know exactly what I want. All right, go, let's do this. And the person in front of me is like, what's a Rileno?
Yeah. Like, oh, God. I had that today where I like when people describe stuff on the menu like it's the first time they've ever heard of it. Like I was at Nick's and some guy's like, I think I'm going to try one of those crispy tacos. Like as if it was the
what's
first time
I've like?
Ever heard of a taco.
Are those good?
Yeah, that's another great question to ask.
No, it tastes like butt. That's why we keep it on the menu. it's our food that most closely resembles butthole.
All right, so we got Laramie coming on soon.
All right.
Supposedly. He said 2 minutes about 5 minutes ago. What are we doing? What are we doing for his pick? What did we make him do last time?
Well, last time, I think he chose something else. And this time he chose R.I.P.D.
Oh, he chose that already?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, was that spoiler alert?
Yeah, you didn't tell me. I didn't know that's what he chose.
Oh, well, if you read the email, which I know you don't really like to do.
Yeah, I kind of don't.
Yeah. If anyone out in the world ever emails with Vince, don't expect a response.
Well, sometimes I put them aside to read later.
Like in a different tab?
Yeah, and then about a month from then, I'll go through and mark them all as read.
Interesting.
Without reading them. Yeah.
Hey, guys, I kind of want all of us to go see Fast 6.
I meant
about it on the broadcast.
The screening was tonight, the press screening.
Mm.
Mm. I'll see it, but you know what? I don't know. I want to be on board with liking Fast 5 movies, like
this
tongue
is not
in
Fast 5
in a tongue in cheek sort of way.
This
but
is Fast 6.
Honestly, I find them just not
this
enjoyable.
It's vehicular homicide.
I haven't seen one since the first one, but at this point, I'm kind of like, fuck it. If they've kept it going for 6, you know, like
on
them.
I think 7's already in pre-production.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Vin Diesel said so on his Facebook page.
Oh, booyah.
It's hard being Vin Diesel.
It is. It's hard to be so buff. He doesn't get every role that he wants.
Not Vin Diesel's also cry.
I read there's this post on this website, Film Drunk. It's sort of hit or miss, not always that funny, but there was one thing about Vin Diesel being the ultimate.
He doesn't Ashley Burns write for that site?
Yeah, he's really funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, the guy from Sony really likes that guy. Yeah, I heard from someone whose friend dated Vin Diesel that he's actually more of a dork than a buffoon, which was hard for me to believe. Like, I feel like he's much
more
of a
theater
kid.
Whole world has been turned upside down.
I don't think
you guys didn't know this. I thought this was common knowledge. He's a huge dork.
I mean, I'm fine with that, but he also seems like an idiot. I don't think those two are mutually exclusive.
Can he not be both, Vince? Can he not be both?
I suppose.
What about a dweeb? Is he a dweeb?
I'm thinking doofus, because that's sort of a dork.
Yeah, what you want
about a Weezer or a Wastoid? Snozbag?
I don't know what a Weezer is.
Yeah, what is a Weezer?
I was just picking up random words. Weezer popped in my head.
I just love his poses. All of his poses in the
was it what men's
was,
health?
Yeah, men's fitness.
Men's fitness.
All of them reminded me of that scene in Zoolander where it was like, "You're a monkey, Derek." Where he's got his wife beater and he's got his sleeveless hoodie.
He had a couple quotes that were pretty good. It was basically, sometimes it's really hard to be like buff.
He says, being a physical presence will rule you out of a lot of roles. I couldn't have done a movie like Ferris Bueller's Day Off with that physical presence.
Yeah, but you also couldn't have done Fast 1-7 without that physical presence.
Also,
also writes you into a lot of roles.
And the fact that you named yourself Vin Diesel. But I like it as part of me. It's part of what I represent. And I think if Humphrey Bogart were around today, he'd be a lot bigger.
That's really random.
He'd be hella shredded.
Yeah. Dude, one thing I always think about when it comes to Humphrey Bogart is how jacked he'd be.
Jacked. So jacked / ripped.
So yoked.
Dude, he'd be so chiseled if he lived in 2013. That's what I think. Not a day goes by, I don't think that.
No. Yeah, he says a lot of things like that, and it makes it hard for me to believe. I guess you can be a nerd and say things that are that dumb.
What, is he a nerd or a dork?
I thought he was a dork.
He's like a D&D sort of dorky guy.
Okay, but that's...
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different than what I pictured all these years.
This buster kept me out of handcuffs. That's way back. That's the first Fast and Furious.
Let's roll this D&D die and see what happens.
This buster has a +1 in legal evasion.
So what I was thinking is I need to write Ferris Bueller as a Vin Diesel vehicle.
Ferris Bueller's Day On?
Yeah.
Two Ferris, two Bueller.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just fucking driving around. He drives the car on the infield of Wrigley Field and peels out of there.
So someone in the comments suggested, life's short. If you don't stop to live it a quarter mile at a time, you might miss it.
It's true.
Yeah.
If you're living it at like a half mile at a time or a full mile at a time, you're going to miss that quarter mile.
All right, we got Laramie.
Mr. Legal, is he already on?
We got Laramie.
Not yet.
Oh.
He's going to be.
Has he seen all of the movies?
Remember in the first one where the car did a wheelie?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end.
That was awesome.
Now, this one, I think Vin Diesel actually like drives up to the guardrail and hits it and then jumps out of the car and like slam him and Letty are on like a collision course in the air somehow.
Who?
Michelle Rodriguez.
What do you call her?
Letty.
Is that her name in the movie or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Duh, bro.
I'm with Brennan. I saw the first two, and then I've seen bits and pieces of the rest of them on HBO whenever they're on TV. And it's just one of those things that it's so absurd on and on and on. And it's the same thing where it's like, we got to meet in this warehouse. What's the plan this time, boss? Yeah. Is it going to be crazier than we ever imagined?
It is. Hey, yo, that's crazy, though.
We can't do that. Well, we got to.
But then it's like, hey, you know that's crazy, right? Yeah. Well, I'm in.
So how much money are we talking?
Yeah, that's always a line.
Laramie.
That's like $2 million each.
Laramie.
I'm a hazard to myself.
Wow.
Someone had some coffee tonight.
Don't let me get me.
So my girlfriend insists on listening to the radio when we drive around, and every fucking channel plays Pink all the time. Every single fucking channel.
What are her songs like now?
That, there's like the one with the guy from Fun, which is really obnoxious.
I actually don't mind Fun. I kind of like the guy's voice.
I like Fun. I feel like there's a huge backlash against them, and I'm like, eh, I kind of like him.
I like his voice.
Yeah. But the song he does with Pink is terrible.
You like the format he was saying in the format back in the day.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, did you hear about that freaking Cleveland thing?
What, the Cavaliers?
The steamer? Yeah.
The rapist?
Can I do my Vince impression for a sec?
Sure.
I mean, everyone wants to come down on this guy, but he didn't kill him.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's totally me.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The guy who imprisoned the women in his house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, he gave him food and shelter.
Right? 4 mouths to feed? You think that's easy?
He gave him food, shelter, and sex. That's like the first three levels of Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
In this economy? That's why Vince is a monster, because he says stuff like that. I don't agree with it at all. It's terrible.
Where is this coming from?
Please send the hate mail to Vince.
Why are you all bone out? Well, you got your gain turned up too high or something.
Oh, should I fix that?
Yeah, you're all fuzzy like a Black Sabbath guitar.
Hold on.
You're playing War Pigs with your mouth.
Wait, hold on.
Hey there, witches up my face. All I shall.
Is that any better?
Shadows grazing on the thunder.
Is that better or not?
Much worse.
Just like worse, witches okay. With their humbra.
Blah, 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 blah. Bam.
Okay, how about now?
A little better.
All right, yeah.
Something. Evil minds that plot destruction.
That's what I was looking for.
I don't know where we're going with this.
Bam, bam, bam.
Well, I know where Vince and Brennan are going. They're going on tour.
Yeah. There's no Pink, I'll tell you that.
All out here! What is he saying there, Elijah?
I think he says Lord, yeah.
Oh, Lord, yeah?
When okay. I was a kid, though, that was like one of the first CDs I ever bought was We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll by Black Sabbath.
Uh-huh.
And for whatever reason, I was like 10, and I thought he said, oh, lawn chair.
Oh, lawn chair.
My first Black Sabbath CD, I didn't know anything about Black Sabbath, so I accidentally got the 2-disc live thing, and it's just him like shouting at the crowd, who wants to fucking rock for like 3 hours?
There's so many songs where you just take the gibberish noises for granted, but you're like, how did he come up with, like, Shamone? Like, Michael Jackson used to be like, Shamone!
Yeah, all the time.
How did you come up?
All the time.
How did you come up with Shamone? That was just something that you said?
Yeah.
Did anyone want to rock?
No.
I wanted to rock.
D. Snyder wanted to rock.
Sad.
Laramie, have you seen all the movies?
I have, and I heard Vince bagging on everything, and I think it's just a reflection of Vince being so sad.
Yeah,
I am very sad.
He's sad. He closed all his tabs finally. It's been a years long process.
It's a lot of nostalgia.
I enjoyed that Rapido Sace. I thought that was good fun.
I didn't see it, so I don't have an opinion on that one.
What's Laramie,
I didn't like Rapido 5 though. So
Laramie, two things: have you seen all of them? One and two. Do you only see them in this dubbed Spanish version?
Yes and yes.
What's the, isn't the Japanese title like Wild Speed Mega Max or something
really?
Like that?
That's awesome.
No, but for real, on the real tip. Well, real is real on that dog.
Smokey says, I'm barking.
When I saw Fast and Furious, 95% of the audience was what ethnicity? Go.
Latino.
Nope.
Asian.
Asian. Yep.
I don't know. I feel like there's a... I feel like, you know, there are... If you looked at them from far away, they just all look Filipino because there's a lot of Latins and a lot of Asians.
Let's just say you didn't want to be racing for pinks outside that parking lot. You would lose.
Do you want the pinks?
I think you want to win the pink slips. Don't you?
Yeah. The pink slip is like your registration, so you race for the deed to the car.
Sorry, it's called Wild Speed Mega Max.
I like that a lot. Why, if they called it that here, I'd like it even more.
Right?
What did they call Tokyo Drift?
Oh.
Just Drift.
Are you making
Mission Creep?
I like how whatever you Googled, you Googled Japanese title Fast Five, and like the fifth result is, how is the Asian guy in Fast Five still alive if he died in Part Three?
Because Part Three is in the future.
It's non-canon. Fast it's like Halloween Three.
Fast of the Future.
It's serious. Tokyo Drift set in the future, and they just caught up to it now.
Here's a little...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious, yeah.
You know, Laramie, what's your favorite one?
Man, The Drift with Lucas Black is pretty tight. Everyone hates that movie, but Lucas Black is my jam. That guy is so good at not being good. I love him.
Is he better at not being... Because I think Paul Walker is arguably the worst actor that's ever lived.
I like that Paul Walker like got away from the series to think he was going to go be an actor, and then was like, you know what? Screw it. Just give me the money.
I just had this winning lottery ticket stuck in my ass.
I'm just going
to
take
so
that.
So here's the deal. They pay me $10 million a year to barely act and go to like Brazil for 2 months. Or I can pretend to be in other movies that barely want me.
I'll say this about Paul Walker, similar to Keanu on a smaller scale. Keanu, not a great actor. Dude, I would totally hang with. Same with Paul Walker. If it was between hanging with him and Vin Diesel, I would choose Paul Walker in a heartbeat.
You're weirded out about a lot of Vin Diesel's body issues, though, aren't you? I thought you wrote that.
I'm not weirded out. I just think he's a buffoon.
You wanted to be anorexic or something, I heard.
He intrigues me. His buffoonery intrigues me. You heard about how he thought that Facebook owes him money because he had so many Facebook fans that he thought he thought that he directly contributed to the popularity of Facebook?
I didn't hear that.
Not
Vin Diesel?
Yeah. And not only just... Well, because he's the... I think one of the biggest
fan pages. He had like a million before anybody else.
Yeah, but now he has like 40 million.
Yeah.
And he said, not only does Facebook... probably owe him some money, but it's in the billions of dollars. Which I liked. I don't know how exactly.
That's totally doable.
That'll be the social network too. Vin Diesel just across the table from him, staring him down.
I'll say this. He deserves it more than the Winklevi.
Oh, yeah, but those are the worst humans on the planet, though.
Yeah, I would just love to see them lose all their money and just have to live in a gutter.
Didn't they have a lot invested in Bitcoin when it went in the shitter?
They did.
Yeah, it made me feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the fact when you try to take credit for something that somebody else basically did.
Through a lawsuit, too, where it's like, I'm suing for this thing.
And they got a bunch of money. Like, if they would have just got whatever, I think they got, what, 30, 40 million at first? If they would have been happy with that and walked away, then all right, fine, no harm, no foul. But when they got 30 million, they're like, no, we deserve way more. It's like, no, you don't.
Can you imagine how amazing that would be to have, like, some really smart roommate in college who you just sued and took the money and then just relaxed, like, the rest of your life?
Yeah.
God, that would be good.
Why do you think I'm still on this Frogcast?
All my roommate wanted to do was play basketball.
What a jerk.
Worthless.
So, Laramie, what's it? It's Six Fast, Six Furious?
I think, yeah. It's six times the flavor, six times the fun.
All right, so, Laramie, what you... Are you embargoed from giving a grade yet to Six Furious, Six Fastest?
No, I already reviewed it. It's online now.
Okay, and?
I think I gave it an 8 out of 10 or something.
Wow.
What did you think of the last one?
I thought it was decent, you know. I'd say 6.4.
So is this one chock full of vehicular homicide?
Yes. It is chock full of things that are impossible.
Is this Mission in Freakin' Sanity?
There is a scene on a runway that goes about 25 minutes. And I don't know if you know how long runways are, but they're not 30 miles long. I'm pretty sure they're not that long.
Well, Laramie, you must have gone and taken a pee break because they clearly explained they found the only airport with a 35-mile runway. Okay?
I mean, they're all going so fast. At one point, like, cars are hooked to the plane that's flying. It's amazing.
You know what I think it is? It's like, I like the stunts to be ridiculous, but at a certain, like, the Fast movies are just, they're so far removed from anything that could
legitimately
happen. It's just like, well, why don't you just put him on a green screen while he's riding a dinosaur? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go for it, just go for it.
Back to the Furious. Yeah, next one is Fast to the Future, and then after that is Back to the Furious.
What about Too Fast, Too Furious?
Yeah, past is good.
Biff's Revenge.
No, Too Past, Too Future.
Dragons just attacked my Civic 9.
Yeah. So what happens in the scene where Vin Diesel shoots out of a car and catches Michelle Rodriguez in midair?
That scene is ridiculous. Just that happens. He jumps over... In, like, they're on separate bridges going a different way or something, and it jumps out to catch her because she's, like, jettisoned from this tank, you know?
Yeah.
And somehow the physics of that, they wouldn't just crash in midair and go plummeting to their death. He has enough force to land on a car going about 100 miles an hour with her or something.
So what happens when does he catch her?
Yes.
And then what happens?
And then she goes, how did you know we'd land on a car? And he goes... I didn't know we'd land at all, or something like this. Something like he was just jumping to his death, basically.
Oh, that's my favorite part of the other guys.
I was just gonna say that.
Where they jump off the building?
What I'm thinking? Aim for the bushes.
Yeah, where they just jump off the building?
Yes.
I laughed so hard at that.
Yeah, so many people hated that movie, and I loved it.
I don't think it held together as a whole movie, but it had a couple of really good scenes.
Yeah, it wasn't very good, but there were a couple.
No, the TLC references are amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
It had Michael Keaton.
It had about 15 minutes.
Yeah. He's so good. It had about 15 minutes of funny wrapped around a fairly stupid story that was...
I think my favorite one-liner was, you know how he accidentally shot Derek Jeter, and then he's like flashing back to it.
He's just Rachel Angel.
Yeah, you just hear the voice in the background, you should have shot A-Rod!
Yeah.
But yeah, that scene is grade A bonkers. Just enjoy it.
All right. Well, that's what I expected. But Laramie, I got to take you to task. I'm sorry.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wait, are we doing the draft first?
Well, Katie, bar the door.
Well, so Laramie, tell me if I'm wrong. You had emailed Vince. Here's what we learned tonight. Vince doesn't ever read an email. After 30 days, he goes through and clicks them all as read. That's how his email inbox works.
Yeah.
So it's the inverse to his tabs, really.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I can't focus on those emails when I got tabs to look over. I got to collate these tabs.
You, if memory serves me correct, so just to remind everyone, Laramie has, I don't know if it's the magic touch or the magic curse or something. One out of every four movies.
The Laramie kiss of death.
One out of every four movies he picks is factually going to get bumped 12 months. There is no dispute. It is 2 for 2.
Did 300 get bumped an entire year also?
I think it's March, but yeah.
Okay,
I
mean, so close.
Like 8 months?
Yeah.
No, it's 10 months.
Yep.
It's pretty good. It's all right. It may or may not be a full year.
For those of you who don't know, second year in a row for Fantasy Summer Box Office, one of Laramie's picks got delayed an entire year. Last year it was G.I. Joe Retaliation. This year it's 300. Rise of the 300s. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Laramie,
it's weird.
Laramie,
yeah,
you picked R.I.P.D., correct?
I kind of want to change that. I'm allowed to mix that up now.
Ooh.
Sure, what's your pick?
Vince never read it anyway.
Lone Ranger? Can I take Lone Ranger?
No, I've already got that for bomb. Oh, you want it for regular?
Yeah, I don't think 50, right?
Well, yeah, maybe. Well, no one likes cowboys.
It looks awful, don't get me wrong, and it's an amazing bomb pick. But yeah. I think like I'm just looking for something to make like 40 or 50. Won't that do it?
Yeah, probably. Oh,
it doesn't matter because you got fucking Iron Man. You've already won this thing.
Yeah, I put $1.74 up on the board week one.
Yeah. We thought Brendan's pick of Gatsby was a good bomb pick, but I don't know.
Yeah, they did, what, like 30% or 50% or something?
Yeah, I think 50
points.
50, yeah. Which is
the budget was pretty low on it is what happened.
I thought the budget was a lot higher because they had all the fancy post-production shit going on.
I think they got like rebates that screwed you or something.
I did not.
They got some sort of weird tax credit.
Yeah, they did.
No, I'm serious. Like they were in New Orleans. They're like, here's $50 million. No,
they got like $20 million tax credit from Australia or something.
It's called
that.
The Screw Brendan.
Oh fuck,
the Screw Brendan credit.
It's just like Turkey Shoot all over again.
All right, so Lone Ranger it is, Laramie. It's going in the books.
I was surprised that I definitely didn't expect Gatsby to make $50 million.
But what'd you expect?
Like 25, 30.
But people like singing in colors.
Clearly they do.
They like Boz.
Yeah.
And then you wanted to take me to task, I think, right there.
I did.
Chico?
About H3?
Yeah. I don't know how... I mean, look, I'm not going to defend Hangover 2 as being good.
You really shouldn't.
Because, all right, I appreciate that people... That it was the same movie.
It was the exact same movie.
But here's the thing. I had zero expectations.
Aren't you supposed to not appreciate that it was the same movie?
No, I mean, I get that people don't like it because of that. But my I had no expectations for that movie. Because I didn't think the first one was that good. And so the second one was exactly like the first one where I laughed at Zach Galifianakis pronouncing words funny and a monkey smoking cigarettes. And that
you
was...
certainly didn't expect them to control C, control B, control find Vegas, control replace Bangkok. I mean, that's 30 seconds of work I just did, and I collected like $10 million for that.
In a macro sense, yes, that's true, but I felt like the jokes on a micro level weren't horribly written. The jokes weren't horribly written individually.
Like it's 4 keystrokes I'm talking about.
Whereas in this one, almost every single joke was like gouged my thumb into my eye bad in this one.
You could not be more wrong. This one, thank God.
Where he knocks over, like he does, a perfect example is him and Melissa McCarthy. You know how they're like, they fall
in
love in the trailer?
It's awful.
Like,
I grant you.
The fucking love music starts playing before they've even said a word to each other. You know what I mean? It's like a Wayans Brothers movie where...
That part's terrible.
These people are going to get together because we said they're going to get together, and there's no... they didn't even attempt to justify it.
Most of the Galifianakis stuff in this one is bad. I think that he's the main problem with the movie.
I totally disagree. The problem with I didn't mind Galifianakis, but the fact that they structured the entire movie around Ken Jeong, who wasn't funny in the fucking first place. Like he was always my least favorite part about the first one.
I agree, but he was better this time.
Ugh,
he was better.
I believe I can fly while he's fucking base jumping.
I mean, that again, you're pointing out the bad parts, but there were laughs in there. Like, I did laugh at certain things.
Like what?
Oh, man. I'm going to pull my notes.
yeah.
I laughed at, like, fucking... I laughed when his password to his phone was, "Hey, Phil." I thought that was funny. And I thought, when he said the last words my dad said to me, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, that part was funny, but that was Alan. You said you didn't like Alan.
No, the singing was terrible for Alan. And they hung with everything a beat too long with that guy.
They did everything a beat too long. It was like written for idiots. Every single... Like, there's a perfect example. They're in Heather Graham's house, and she's pregnant, and Zach Galifianakis is taking his shoes off. And as he's taking his shoes off, he, like, leans over to stable himself on her pregnant belly. which would have been funny as a sight gag if they didn't hold it for like 5 seconds and then have someone comment on it.
Like, yeah, every I agree. That was not funny. Yeah. That part.
I feel like they tried to do that in comedies a lot. Where like, dude, that just happened.
Yeah, they did that. Every joke they did that, and it was driving me fucking insane.
It's the, something happens, and then a character within the movie overly explains it.
Yeah. Well, it's like they have Ed Helms there, and I like Ed Helms. I think Ed Helms is funny, but his role in the Hangover movies is fucking terrible. His entire role, it's like, Alan does something wacky, and then Ed Helms gets mad about it. And it's like, dude, wouldn't you be used to it by now? We've done this for fucking 3 movies.
Yeah, but they've only really hung out for like 3 days, though.
This movie is exponentially better than 2.
No.
And it has Big Lebowski callbacks and John Goodman, which I enjoy.
I would have walked out 25 minutes in if I wasn't reviewing it. Like, legitimately walked out.
Well, you still could have walked out.
It was...
And your review could have just ended right in the middle.
Yeah.
That scene where they're in the pawn shop and then Zach Galifianakis turns around and, you know, knocks over a bunch of instruments like you knew he was going to. And then a second later, and then after he steadies them all and walks out, he does it again. I actually yelled at the screen during that scene. It was so bad.
What happens when you're the guy that's just freaking out and like doing somersaults in your chair? Do you get any reactions?
Well, I was sitting next to that dude, the one I hate, who...
Bray?
No, the other guy. Other guy. Bray was there too. But the other guy, example of him, when somebody disses somebody in the movie, he's the kind of guy that'll be like, oh.
Audibly?
Audibly. In the fucking Hangover 3.
He could be my crew. I like him.
Yeah, he would roll with you. You like that movie.
He sounds...
Laramie, you and him would high five so loudly in the movie.
Oh, we'd be like, what? No, they didn't.
I want you guys to see Hangover 3 now, just to prove Laramie wrong.
Scene where, I mean, it's no other guys, but the scene where Bradley Cooper's breaking down a brick wall and Ken Jeong goes, you're supposed to do it without your shirt off, it makes it better. And Zach Galifianakis goes, yeah. And then he kind of looks at them both. That's a funny scene. That made me laugh.
No.
Yeah, I said, huh?
Because he's gay? That's the joke?
I don't know what the joke was. That's why I said it was weird.
That's the whole joke.
Yeah, that was strange.
The one thing I did like, I like the fact that Bradley Cooper at least was, instead of reacting to Zach Galifianakis like Ed Helms does, he was like, he had the thing where he kind of enjoyed his weirdness.
Yeah. I
thought that was a much more interesting dynamic than...
There you go. You're coming around.
No, I'm not coming around. Because the thing is, it's like, when someone writes jokes, you're either... You either share comedic sensibilities with that person or you don't.
You talking about the craft of joke writing though?
No, I'm just talking about the way we experience comedy.
Like
Craig Mazel wrote The Hangover 3, and I don't think that guy and I share any comedic sensibilities because
burn on the Mazel.
I just watch it and it's like it's all fingernails on a chalkboard to me.
Mazel just got served.
I felt that way. So the first one was like, that was fun. It was like mildly different than other stuff. And then I feel the same way with Laramie as number 2, where it was like...
2's a nightmare.
It was the exact same movie from start to finish.
Agreed. But I thought the individual jokes within that weren't as terrible as this one.
I will not see 3, because I felt so burned on number 2. I was like,
fool me once. Yeah. Jim, I knew you fool me twice. You're not going to fool me twice.
See, exactly. The great George Bush. So number 2, I mean, I'm not going to say I didn't laugh because I did in number 2, especially when they were rehashing Ed Helms having sex with the...
that's the only funny part.
With the male.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
I appreciate that it was like almost wrong.
But the relationship with Ed Helms and Galifianakis is so annoying, where it's just like Galifianakis just keeps doing crazy shit and Ed Helms keeps getting really pissed.
Yeah.
Mr. Vince.
Well, here's the thing. Hangover 2 had that thing at the end where they reenacted the Viet Cong execution picture with Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that was like at least a grade higher because I thought that was
funny. Mr. Vince. Yeah. In this scene, he snuffs the life out of a chicken with a pillow and says, "Don't fight it." That's funny.
Is it?
It's weird.
No, it's not. Like,
what's going on? Why is that in a mainstream movie?
Everything that was a joke in that movie was a joke stolen from somewhere else. It was like a reference to The Shawshank Redemption.
Hey,
Sorry. You know what else I heard they reenacted in the second Hangover? The first Hangover.
Hey-oh.
Yeah. I'll be here all week. Don't forget to
cha-cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, Vince is wrong. I think people who hated Hangover 2 will like Hangover 3. I'm not saying it's great by any stretch. It's just watchable.
The jokes are bad. It's not, it's unwatchable.
But that's because you're a professional jokester.
Watchable.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's just commenting on the crappy story the entire time. It's
you're
so
making money for the funny, Vince. You have a higher standard.
Ugh.
You know?
Well, Laramie, did you see Star Trek Into the Darkness?
I saw that twice, as a matter of fact, on accident.
Which one was the accident, the first time or the second time?
Second, because I said I'd take a friend and then remembered after I'd seen it once, and I was like, "Arr!"
Wait, so you promised to see it twice before you'd even seen it once?
No, I promised to see it the once. I forgot I was supposed to take him, then remembered, and then had to take him to another one so that I could fulfill my word, because I don't let people down. It's one thing about me.
That is true.
Yeah.
Smokey hates Star Trek.
Yeah, he wants to get out of here.
He's kind of right, though.
I actually saw this one.
He gets really worked up when we talk about Lindelof.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to talk Star Trek?
Well, after you know what they did to him with Lost, I mean, he's never recovered.
He really hated the Lost finale.
Brett, are you going to see it? Do you Smokey not want spoilers?
I'm going to see it. I heard vastly different things about it, so I don't know where I'm going to stand. But
so you're going to eject for a minute?
Yeah, I'm going to bounce.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, bye, Brett.
Bye.
I miss you.
I already miss you guys.
Oh.
Yay.
All right, see you next week.
All right, bye.
I don't know how you felt about this, Laramie, but I preferred the first Star Trek to the second one also.
Agree.
I legitimately liked the first one.
Yeah, the first one was good.
I agree.
Yeah. This one, so...
With few caveats.
I did see it in IMAX 3D. The 3D I thought was actually really good. Vincent,
so your ticket was $17, is that right?
One thing I do like about IMAX versus normal is what now, $12? And IMAX is 17, and people like shit into their pants that it's so expensive. Like, are you fucking high? $17? You must be fucking high. You must be high on every drug in the book.
And we're just talking to the computer that's printing out the ticket.
I would never in a million years pay $17 for a single movie. Yes, one for Star Trek. That's $12. That's reasonable. Anyway.
It's also weird that... when people from other parts of the country are like, "Oh yeah, I saw that for $6.50," and you're like, "What? Where?
Yeah, did you go to a 6 a.m. matinee?"
I don't understand how the prices are that vastly different between here and other parts of the country.
Yeah, because even in San Francisco, I think a matinee is legitimately still like $10, where a normal screening is
$12. I think $9.50 or something.
But it's only the ones that so now, especially for big movies, they have 50 screenings a day.
When we go to the gathering, you're going to see some shit. Because we are in our ivory tower in San Francisco and Seattle. The rest of the world is pretty strange.
Well, I'm ready.
Yeah, they're charging $6 for a movie because people have $6 total.
That's, yeah.
Anyway, I would always recommend for action movies to see it in IMAX if you can, because it's a better experience. And
the
now,
last 30 minutes of that movie are an abortion.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I totally agree.
And also,
finally, we agree on something, Laramie.
Just, there you go. As an aside, Vince's national nightmare of reserve seating in movie theaters is happening.
Ooh.
We had reserve seating again, and I loved it. You show up 10
IMAX,
minutes.
IMAX, that makes sense.
Yeah, we show up 10 minutes before the movie. We sit in our whatever seats.
Here's the
want.
Thing for me. If we have reserve seating, I want to see where other people have reserve seats.
Can I buy more seats?
My goal in reserve seating is not a specific place in the theater. It's to be not around other people. I don't want people in front of me because I want to put my feet up on the seats, and I don't want people behind me to kick my seat. And
well,
I don't want people around.
Here, I've got a really good idea for you. You buy out a block of 15 seats all around you, and you have like your own little island.
That's stupid.
Because otherwise, me, Beret Man, and this guy are coming for you.
Yeah.
So I agree with both of you as well. Where the last 20 minutes felt like an hour and a half.
What are we doing?
Which is a terrible thing. Well, the overall problem I had with it, so I would probably give it a B because it was fun. That's good audio.
Sorry.
What was that?
Vince just had a...
I have the Beta Breakers flu.
He just had a copious amount of snot fly out of his nose.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. The 3D I thought was good. But there was not one surprise or twist at any point in the entire movie. Like once the movie started happening, I could tell you, like, all right, well, this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And Vince and I talked about where Khan's motives beyond popping RoboCop's head I didn't know. What were they?
Neither him or RoboCop's motives made any sense. And I think when people talk about a movie not making sense, they don't mean it from the sense that, or at least I don't mean it from the sense that something has to be logical. Like, I don't care about the physics of the warp drive, that kind of crap. You know, I don't care, you know, if they make some make up some time travel plot and they make it work out with the timelines, I'm fine with that. When I say it doesn't make sense, I mean, I don't want to be sitting there bored wondering why these two characters are doing something. For the last 20 minutes, I had no idea why Khan was doing stuff. And I was like, why are they fighting on top of this? I'm so confused. I don't know what they want. That's all you really have to know. Like, you have to have some sense of what the characters want in a given scene. Otherwise, you're like, this is just stuff happening.
The last 20 to 30 minutes are not gilding the lily. They're like raping the lily. Like, there's so much going on that has no tension at all because you know how they're going to end the movie.
Well, it's like they sold their soul to have a few like, they wanted these three scenes in the movie, and they didn't care how they got them in there, so they just sort of just stuck them in there and tried to make them make sense somehow.
And they did not.
No, they did not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, worth a watch.
I have a question. Why did Lindelof get all the heat for the naked chick? There's, like, two other writers and a director, and somehow all of that fell to Lindelof.
Which naked chick?
Alice Eve, well, you know, or the underwear, whatever.
Oh, she wasn't naked.
I know. I wish she was.
You know, that's a weird scene. It was a weird scene, but I don't know why he got the blame for it. I don't know why they did it either. It just seems like Star Trek does that, though, right? They just throw in.
I think they wanted to be kind of cutesy, like, oh, look, they're like, that was a running joke in Galaxy Quest where his shirt kept coming off.
Here's a question that I did have that didn't make sense. Why did she's Peter Weller's daughter? She had a super thick British accent. Explain that to me.
She grew up in England after their parents got divorced.
Is that true?
I don't know. No. I guess.
Well, she can do an American accent. So that wasn't the issue.
Oh, I just mean that.
Those titties could do an accent.
Yeah. Showing them
titties. Alice Eve is Peter Weller's daughter?
Yeah.
In the movie.
Oh. They meant in real life.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah.
Now, in the movie, he's the admiral of Starfleet. And she is his daughter with a full British accent.
Except he's more like a bad Merle.
Yeah.
Yowzers.
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah, his motives don't make any sense. I could have used some more Klingon action. Khan's motives make no sense. And a lot of the shit just was like, what? This isn't supposed to be complicated. And it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Also, Spock shows up for no reason at all.
You mean Spock, the original Spock?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, he
shows up and he's like, this guy's bad, Spock. Like, thanks. Well, also,
he also says, I can't tell you anything that would affect your future, but here's the whole game plan. Like, what? Huh? I'm pretty sure that just affected it.
You're going to have to choose your own path. But anyway, you got a pen and paper? I'm going to.
Like, I saw the butterfly effect, and that definitely. Where do I find these gifts, by the way? What site's that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on.
Laramie's got the place to himself, Vince.
Come on.
D, are you home there alone?
Yeah, man. I'm a bachelor.
Have you figured out what to do with the dog for your...
4th of July.
4th of July?
Oh, man. We're just going to go on the run.
Are you?
We've actually thought about staying in a hotel because some of those are pretty, you know, soundproof if you get to the nice ones.
Well, yeah, the ones you want to murder someone in?
What if, yeah.
Murder hotels?
What about if... I mean, there's got to be a couple of hotels that have rooms like 30, 40 feet underground, right?
Got to. I'm no expert on the hotel industry, but...
No, I'm not saying I know every hotel in the greater Seattle area, but I would think there's got to be at least one.
But there's no way at the Four Seasons you're hearing, you know, crack rock knife exchanges out front, right? Like,
how bad could he... Like, how bad could he be freaked out by fireworks?
Dude, he goes into the Vietnam 10,000-yard stare, and, like, you cannot bring him back, like, for food or water or bathroom or anything. He's done, dude.
He just sort of comatose for a little bit?
He is, but his eyes are open, and you can tell he's going through something very profound, you know? But he's not...
Maybe you shouldn't give him so much acid when it's fireworks
time.
He's
not there. Let me tell you, he's not there. So I would like to avoid that, because it's just a nightmare.
So this dog, man, don't get over it. His memory isn't that long.
What about doggy hearing protection?
Yeah, maybe get him some doggy
earplugs. Get him a thunder shirt.
Yeah, I've heard those might work.
Oh, you haven't even tried that?
I've tried on for different stuff, and he's just like, why is this on me? He kind of looks at me.
You just put it on when you guys have
sex. He goes limp, you know? He goes limp.
Did you guys see the cat they put the thunder shirt on?
No. Yeah. What
did
yeah.
it do?
Did you see that, Brendan?
No.
It's incredible. The cat is like paralyzed and it will not stand up and it just literally keeps falling over like a tree and then it won't stand up at all. It's good times.
My dog does that, but not even with a thunder shirt. We bought an American Apparel hoodie for him and you put it on and he's just like, and he just like completely falls over.
What is the deal with that?
I don't know.
Does he not care about fireworks? Are you guys good with fireworks?
I think they're disciples of Martin Luther or of Gandhi. That's yeah. that's total. That's I mean that's classic
civil nonviolent.
Yeah.
No, I mean I thought people said if I go out to the woods or whatever, I'll just be louder because like rednecks or whatever pop off more fireworks than municipalities. No.
Well.
It's an issue.
You got about a month to figure it out.
White people problems.
All right. So what other summer flex do we have coming up? And where's the box office standings at this point?
Well, Laramie's ahead.
Ha ha.
Brendan is got around 50 because that's just his bomb pick.
None of my movies have even come out yet, though.
Brett had Star Trek II, I believe, which was 70.
That's pretty good open. Yeah, that was his first pick, though.
Yeah, that's not a good first pick.
He's only 100 behind me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make fun of him. Sorry.
Larry, what's coming out that you're excited for?
I do want to see that Danny McBride, This Is the End, Michael Cera joint. Yeah.
I don't know. Every time I watch more previews, it looks
worse.
It looks too improv-y to me, where they're just sort of riffing off each other.
Did you see the Pacific Rim trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The Gravity trailer.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
I don't know. I don't know what to think about that movie.
It looks so bad.
I will say this.
Is Gravity the one with Clooney where they're in space?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why does it look so bad? I think it looks kind of cool.
I don't think it
looks
like bad.
It's like Speed in space. She's just sitting there like floating around for 2 hours, it looks like.
I'm going to guess that something else.
Speed in space. They're like, I can't stop. There's no friction. Yeah, she's
like grabbing onto different things. And then the next scene, they're grabbing onto something else. You're like, okay. Is there anything else in this movie?
There's no gravity out here.
Do you get it?
What do I do? When I saw the Man of Steel trailer on the big screen.
That's not a bad trailer.
The one with the soaring music and the narration.
I enjoyed
that. That fucking trailer gives me a mad boner.
I agree with you.
And I thought I had no interest in a Superman movie before that.
Yeah, I think it looks really good too. And because I think Superman is one of the worst modern superheroes because it's like he can do everything except touch this one rock. And so I think his story and background is sort of one of the silliest ones.
He can do everything but be a gem collector. Every other job wide open,
pretty much.
Well, the thing that they seem to be doing is the origin story.
Yeah, which the most recent one was called just Superman or Superman Returns? No,
Superman Returns.
That was pretty dumb.
It was really dumb.
Well, yeah. Why would you name an origin story Returns?
No, this one is more of an origin than the other one.
Man of Steel's an origin. This one's more like Batman Begins.
Okay. And they just like in the trailer, the one joke is they don't say Superman. He's the Man of Steel.
Superman Returns was an allegory, which everyone loves for a summer movie.
Was it? What was it an allegory for?
Jesus.
Yeah, always with the Jesus.
Really?
Yeah. What, you think I'm screwing you? Brian Singer came out and said that.
I hate that. That's like the most, the laziest.
That was a Christ-like figure.
Yeah. Wow. That's deep, man.
Huh? Get it?
Look, it's a model, and she's posing on a crucifix. Look how edgy I am.
Wait, hold on. I got to think about it.
Well, I'm not a huge origin story guy, but when it comes to Superman, it turns out that's kind of the only interesting part about Superman. Like the other stuff,
when it seems like, and Michael Shannon kicks ass.
Yeah, all the actors look really good.
Yeah, and he it seems like his story's a little cooler, where he's very proud of Krypton, so he wants to take Superman.
Proud Kryptonian.
Yeah.
So if you like talk bad about Krypton, he's like coming after you.
Yeah, he's like, fuck off, bro.
Coming like for we're not you. Having it.
Does he wear like a sweatshirt with Krypton's area code on it?
He's got it tattooed in old English.
Yeah, if you step, he'll just like whip your ass.
HN6.
Krypton definitely needs an area code.
The two I'm morbidly curious to see are, of course, Lone Ranger and White House Down. Just
oh, we're definitely seeing White House Down.
Oh yeah,
I mean White House like
anytime.
I love that guy.
Anytime the president says, "Don't touch my Jordans,"
you win. You win.
You know what's funny is I can't remember if I talked about this on the last podcast, but I saw the trailer for White House Down during Iron Man 3.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, this is an actual movie!" Like I just knew about Burnsy doing those storyboards, and I thought they were very funny. And then I was like, "Oh, this is an actual thing that's happening."
That seemed to be a common reaction.
Yeah,
because we were on that story when it was just like a trade story, and it's funny. It feels like that movie was written. Before there was it feels like it was written around a black comedian's joke about what a black president would be before we actually had a black president.
Yeah.
Like, hey, yo, if there was a brother in there, he'd be talking about his Jordans.
Don't touch my Jordans.
Yeah.
I remember one of the best conversations I ever had with a total stranger at a bar was in like 2008. And somehow I struck up a conversation with a stranger at a bar and the conversation veered towards how we both voted for Obama, but we were sort of disappointed he had been elected just in the sense that it was going to send stand-up comedy back like 25 years.
Yeah. Because you can't make the if we had a black president joke anymore.
Right, right. And you know, then and it's just going to make it's well, and almost it would dig up the old if we had a black president joke. So it's like, man, we got a brother in the White House. They're going to be serving fried chicken at the White House dinner.
Yeah.
Air Force One going to have some rims on it. Just like all the most hackiest deaf comedy jam.
I think Chris Rock,
Comic View jokes.
Either Chris Rock or Dave Chappelle definitely had one about if there was a black president.
Yeah. Chris Rock definitely had like a whole bit on that.
Yeah. Someone needs to put together a supercut of comedians doing what if there was a black president jokes.
Why don't they just switch to black vice president?
If Joe Biden was a brother.
Joe Biden is the first black vice president.
Joe Biden is kind of a brother, though.
Did you ever read that whole story about how he got in a fight with a guy named Corn Pop? And he was a lifeguard at a public swimming pool. So he was like a lifeguard at a public swimming pool when he was in college. And some guy who, you know, either wasn't a member, didn't pay, or whatever. He had done something incorrectly.
Yeah.
Cut the shit, and, Corn Pop.
Right. And Biden kicked him out. And Corn Pop was waiting for him in the parking lot with a straight razor, and so Biden walked out with a chain wrapped around his arm.
What the hell?
Yeah,
this is a graphic novel.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing, but apparently he talked his way out of it.
Biden and Corn Pop.
Yeah, Biden and Corn Pop.
Man, look it up. Corn Pop was about to get a can of whoop ass open on him.
Yeah,
that's chain on your hand.
I'm proud to have that man as the vice president.
He was.
I think Roland Emmerich hates America, though. Like, how many times has he blown off the White House now? Like a lot, right?
Another thing that I would like to see on the same vein as the black president is I bet you there are a lot of theses around about
theses
about like the hyper masculinity of Roland Emmerich movies.
Yeah.
Even though he's like a very flamboyantly gay man.
He's a yokel.
A yokel?
Yeah, he's a
how so?
He's a ne'er-do-well.
A ne'er-do-well. Did you ever see that Shakespeare one that he did with the cannons?
Oh, Anonymous.
Yeah.
I actually liked Anonymous.
Did you?
It made like $4.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. And everyone's like, nope, not doing that. Sorry, Roland. Get back to blowing stuff up.
Yeah. Nobody was into that. But he did blow stuff up. That was the thing.
Yeah, still. He blew the like Theater in the Round or whatever.
Yeah.
The Globe.
Yeah. Like, this isn't big enough, Roland. You got to blow up like the Eiffel Tower. And
it's weird because I do like Independence Day. I think it's still watchable.
Here's my idea.
I didn't even like Independence Day when I was like 15 when it came
out.
We are
going to blow up the White House again.
But Godzilla is awful. Like, awful, awful.
What's the one that came out like 1998?
Yeah, with Matthew Broderick as Godzilla.
I mean, really bad.
Didn't they have like the...
Oh, and P. Diddy and Jimmy Page.
Exactly. You saw where I was going with that.
It's really bad.
2012 was terrible.
Dun dun dun.
Yep.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
Come with me.
Oh, what?
Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. What? Take that. Take that. Take that. Take that. Take that.
Dun dun
dun. Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
Take that.
Dun dun dun.
Go to bed.
Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun. da da da. Smokey's in on this.
The take that was the best part for me of that.
They should have.
That was nice.
Like a dog replace P. Diddy with a dog.
What sort of dog?
Where instead of just saying like, yeah, come on, it could just be like a dog that barks or like growls or something.
What sort of dog though?
Woof. Like a little schnauzer.
Day after tomorrow, the day before the day after yesterday.
That he blew up the White House in that one too, didn't he?
Did he? I don't think so.
He killed the president, though, didn't he?
He's always doing something like
the president,
that.
Wasn't the president on the helicopter that froze?
Did the helicopter freeze in midair?
Yeah, because remember that? Yeah, there was like the rogue sort of, I don't know what they were. It was like funnels of extremely cold air. So it made it so they were like running away from it, and they would like run and like dive across a chasm, and then it would like just miss them.
I never saw it.
Oh yeah, really? It was basically because unless you have like a gigantic tidal wave, it's like how do you make the weather scary? They kept having these rogue like funnels of freezing cold air. And
well,
he made
this in 2012 too. Like he made the runway fall apart like four different times as they're flying.
Yeah, the Earth just crumbled. Although the Woody Harrelson character was sort of funny.
I think he like dropped California into the ocean in 2012, didn't he?
Oh yeah, all of California is in the ocean.
Gave you guys a little chili dip.
Yeah, it's a little.
What was the plot of 2012? It was just the Mayan apocalypse and not global warming this time.
No, it was Mayans. It was the Mayans predicted it.
Okay. Yeah, but it was
just a tsunami and a sinkhole.
It was everything. It wasn't. It was like a gigantic earthquake, and then all of the volcanoes all over the world were erupting like crazy.
Okay, so just sort of like the Earth went on a general strike.
More like a general fuck you.
Yeah,
I would say the opposite.
It went on a general strike against humans.
Yeah, basically, I'd say the opposite of a strike. Though, 'cause they're working hecka hard.
Did you see the clip of Jaden Smith from After Earth? By any chance?
I do my best to avoid anything.
It's amazing. You should see that.
So you know how everything the humans haven't set foot on the Earth in 1,000 years, and in that thousand
but
years,
in those 1,000 years, the animals are taking a lot of classes.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Hey, come on. Class is starting.
In case the humans come back. This is what you do. So there's a clip of him on Jimmy Fallon's show. And it's just Jaden Smith and he's fighting this saber-toothed tiger thing. And it's classic. I think Star Wars started this, I want to say. Where he fights off the saber-toothed tiger just long enough for a giant eagle to come and grab.
And then you know what gets the giant eagle? Bigger,
yeah, pterodactyl creature.
It's an allegory.
I did want to play some of that clip. Does this kid annoy you as much as he annoys me? Because he fucking annoys the piss out of me.
Yes,
you do fall down a lot. Yeah, do you have a certain type of skateboard you like using?
Like Alien Workshop.
Alien Workshop.
And Girl. Yeah.
Do you know which one?
Girl. You might not know any of those things. But
no.
Those. Yeah.
You could have just made up words.
Yeah.
You could have just made up words, and I'd be like, oh, quartz girl. I got to have girl.
Yeah.
That's my first thing I pull out when I got to go skating. I got to grab girl, and I go, have you seen these things called pennies? That's a thing I know
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely. I have like 5 penny boards.
But pennies are cool.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah. But you have your own clothing line.
Yes.
Called Misfits.
Yeah.
It's all skater clothes, kind of, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Based on skater clothes.
Absolutely.
Are you wearing it now?
I'm wearing pants.
Okay, me too.
Pants. Yeah.
It's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Again, Prince Harry, if you're watching, trust
me. I don't know. I
feel like he's gotten ahead, though, because of his dad.
I just don't like the idea of kids having clothing lines and the part where Jimmy Fallon has to play along with it like it's cool. Like, fuck you. You're fucking 14. You're designing jeans, and like we're supposed to act like that's awesome.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit of two where... I think you even wrote about it a little, where everyone's just around them just sucking them off. So, of course, they're going to think their shit doesn't stink. And, you know, they're making tons of money, and dad's rich and famous.
I'm not begrudging you for being rich, but what are you doing with your time now that you're rich? Designing fucking jeans? That's what you're doing? Like, you could buy a yacht. There's so many. There's an infinite possibilities.
What would you do? First thing.
What would you do? Oh, I'm going to put out a mixtape and come up with some drop crotch jeans.
You just got... $20 million. What are you gonna do?
Fucking super mega yacht.
Okay, that's first on the list.
I'm gonna fill the jacuzzi on there with nacho cheese.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure $20 million can't even buy a super mega yacht. Those things are like $100 million.
Right, oh, well, you think he doesn't have it, though?
Oh, he's got it.
Yeah.
Well, I just,
you know what's funny, too, is I was about to get all indignant that his clothing line is called Misfits. Like, what the fuck does he know about the Misfits? Like, one of the greatest punk rock bands ever. Like, he doesn't know anything. I've been listening to Misfits since I was 14, and then I remembered that, like, my mom bought me the box set when I was 14.
And it was and there was already a movie called The Misfits before The Misfits band.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a noun. It's a common noun.
Yeah.
I don't know. The clothing line thing, it's just like they do all the most cliche rich kid shit and people act like it's awesome.
Like they get a giant train set in their house.
So cool.
That's a callback.
Silver spoons.
That's a callback, people.
Was Fresh Prince in that?
Making it grow together.
That's what I spent my $10 million on right there. Just a fucking train set.
I don't
even
remember that theme song.
Brenda, do you think you know every TV show?
Oh, wait, no.
We're gonna find our way.
Yeah, I don't think that is Silver Spoons, is it?
Together.
Silver Spoons is Ricky Schroeder, where he rode the train around the inside of the house.
And he had like a little black friend, didn't he?
Yeah, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Boom.
Was that him? Yeah. Or I thought he was. I thought Alfonso Ribeiro was Carlton.
He also was Carlton.
Oh, really? Yeah. The same guy?
Yeah.
A lot of range.
At the time, they were breaking racial ground there.
He did. He was prolific back then.
A lot of range. He played a rich kid for a white friend of a white family and then a rich kid in a black family.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Times are changing.
He even came up with his own dance.
It's a pretty good dance.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I interviewed Freddie Highmore when he was like 12.
That was a kid from Fighting Neverland?
It was demeaning.
Why was it demeaning?
Because it's like, you're 12, I don't care.
But did he talk about his clothing line?
No, he was in like Golden Compass or whatever. No, he was a little, you know, nice little British kid.
little British kids are awesome.
Like, spot a tea then. And I'm like, what? Please, sir.
Please, sir.
I'm so hungry they haven't fed me in a fortnight.
Sweep your chimney!
I remember I was walking this huge dog through the park, and this British kid was like fascinated by the dog, and he was asking questions about like, how big is his basket? That was his question. I couldn't stop laughing. He had like,
it's like 2 meters? What?
He had like a little vest on. He's like, but how big is his basket?
Please, sir.
Please, sir, I must know for my schoolings.
By the way,
that's a great dog you've got there.
I just Googled, we're hoping to find two of a kind, and I did, in fact, confirm that it is the Silver Spoons theme song.
You want to go where... Oh, wait, no, that's a different...
I went and got brunch this weekend with my girlfriend. My girlfriend went to college at St. Andrews in Scotland. And so,
I did not know that about her.
Yeah, so we met her roommate and her fiancé... At a brunch place, and this place in particular does these really good deviled eggs for appetizers. And I was like, "Do you guys want to do deviled eggs?" And they looked at me like I had a dick growing out of my forehead. They'd never heard of deviled eggs. I didn't realize that was a uniquely American thing.
Yeah, it's like a Southern thing or Midwest.
That
or
and salsa is kind of American too.
Really?
I mean, it's Mexican and American, but yeah, they don't have that like overseas very often. That's salsa.
Yeah, but they have their own weird shit. Like,
oh yeah,
what's for breakfast? Spaghetti on toast and some stewed tomatoes. And you're like, also we're going to give you a plate of baked beans that you're going to scoop up with a piece of bread.
You know what else is pretty American? Peanut butter.
Really?
Weirdly. Yeah, peanut butter is pretty American.
This one might not come as a surprise, but you will not find ranch dressing anywhere else in the world.
That's a big also one, yeah.
You know, I got used to eating beans for breakfast. I was on a specific diet where you eat a lot of beans, and I got used to it, so I don't mind. So I get why the beans for breakfast.
I'm not a big bean fan.
Yeah.
Gonna be honest.
Were your friends Scottish then?
No, one was Irish. Her old roommate was Irish, and then her fiance was English.
When I went over to Ireland, and I started getting used to both the Irish and the Scottish accent. And the Scottish accent just has like no consonants as far as I can tell, or no vowels as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you go down to the Irish.
I feel like Irish is really easy to understand and Scottish is almost impossible.
Yeah, you just head on down to the pub.
Yeah, I think they were both kind of well off, so they didn't have the really thick accent.
The Cockney.
They were both like very easy to understand.
Brad Pitt and Snatch accent.
So does she know a lot of hot Irish girls?
Well, they live in Vancouver, so damn, I don't know if she could help you.
Princess Merida, ooh.
She was Scottish, wasn't she?
I think she was an Irish princess, wasn't she?
I have no idea. I never saw that movie.
Yeah. Oh, you got lucky. It was terrible. Especially because everyone's like, Pixar made a great movie for women. You're like, she's a fucking princess. How aspirational is that?
Yeah. I can't wait to be born into royalty.
Yeah, it's like, what?
I hate these movies that are like, they're like litmus tests for like sexism or racism, but then the movie's bad. And you're like, no, I want them to have the opportunity to make that movie. I just don't want to watch that movie.
Well, like, and compared to like Pixar's, you know, legacy, it's like Toys That Come Alive, you know, a Monster University. And then it's like a princess. Like, what? Which one of these does not belong, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just my got an Irish girl's phone number one time at a party. And then, like, by the end, she was like, listen. Mike's husband's name is Brendan. He was kind of a cunt. she just told me not to call her.
That's awesome.
After she gave me her phone number.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. I mean, I respect her reasoning, and it's kind of a shitty thing to do, but
I had to attempt to call her anyway.
I kind of was, because she was like 5'10 and way hot, and she had like a really Irish name. Her name was like Finula or something like that.
You should have been like, it's Brendan, not the ex-husband cunt one.
Not your right cunt ex-husband.
There was this girl that I was, well, I don't know if I'd say I was dating her in Australia, and she kept saying that she didn't think I looked like a Vince and that she wanted to call me Clive.
I didn't think
I'm going to call you Clive.
Well, you certainly don't look like a Clive.
You look more like a Reginald, I'd say.
Ooh. Strangely enough, that's my name on the Tyler Perry.
Sir Reginald.
Yeah, Sir Reginald.
He's been knighted.
Yeah.
By Tyler. So, Laramie, Vince, I made the mistake one time of deleting fan mail from Tyler Perry to Vince. Vince signed up for this.
I always assumed that one of the listeners had signed us up,
or we just got. I thought we just got put on like a, you know, some sort of spamish sort of list. And Vince,
like Tyler Perry's out there just marketing wide to like.
Yeah, Vince is like, who the fuck deleted the Tyler Perry email I needed for a post? And I was like, oh fuck, sorry.
He emailed it to all of us. Yeah. Who did that? I need that.
And all the
every- I was just asking. I was like, because I was like, I had it in my inbox and I was about to write about it, and I went into the inbox and it was gone. I was like, God damn it.
The tone was angry.
You read that. You read into that.
Laramie, his name.
Hey, there's no sarcasm font in email, Vince.
Yeah. Every email starts out, Dear Sir Reginald.
That's classic. Well, classic Vince.
Do you even know what your last name is there? Reginald?
I have no idea.
Reginald von Papsmeer.
That sounds like a fantastic name. Yeah.
You know what? When T. Perry's finally
Reginald von Papsmeer.
I can see Perry down on his luck in an alley like, I just got to call Sir Reginald and I'll get back.
Hey, are there usernames on OKCupid?
Yes, there are.
You should go
by. I mean, so I've heard.
A theoretical OKCupid listener who may or may not be on the podcast should go by Sir Reginald von Papsmeer.
Yeah. I think I checked to see if Harry C. Word was available.
Oh, that's not a real last name.
Was it going to be C. Word?
The girls would love that.
Was it going to be C. Word?
I don't know. How many do you think would actually get that?
Not all of them.
Not many.
Was it going to be Harry C. Word? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like SEAWARD.
No, SEAWARD or something. C word. So like you have to sound it out to really understand what it's about.
Classic.
Yeah, that's the Corolla. That's Corolla's new fake name. Which
classic comedy right there. Yeah. I mean, that's what you call classic comedy.
Are you? Oh, you don't want to talk.
Never
about
heard
it,
that
right.
before.
Harry C word.
Yeah. Adam Kroll's always talking about how like you can't do Jack Mayhofer anymore or like
too,
Amanda Huggins because it's too obvious, but Harry C. Word is like just subtle enough where you get away with calling it out at an airport.
Pedophile.
He once talked Laramie's ear off.
Yeah, it's true. I had an hour interview with him where I had to end it.
It's always funny when you're like starstruck and then you end the interaction with the star by like backing out of the room being like, hey, so anyway, I got some stuff to do.
I don't know about you, but anytime I interview, they're always like 4 seconds in, there's like 5 minutes left. You know, like one more question. Yeah. You're like, okay, fine, you know.
Or
but like him, there was no publicist. He just called, and then he's like, and eventually I'm like, I got to go, dude. Like, I have stuff to do today. So I got to let you go. He's like, all right, have a good one.
He seems to have no problem talking.
Yeah, he definitely could talk, and I was appreciative. I mean, he gave me plenty of material, to put it that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of times in those interviews, like I'll have two warm up questions to,
yeah,
like here's the standard questions to
the
get
fluffer
them, to yeah. Yeah, a fluffer to get them, lull them into a false sense of security. Okay,
we're
ask
all friends.
Ask them something stupid, yep. And then a lot of times they'll just bloviate so long on the two dumb questions that I never get to ask what I want to.
When someone does a soliloquy for like 3 or 4 minutes, you're like, you know who just did that to me? Was who's the guy from, God, what even movie? How Much Ado About Nothing. He was in Avengers. He was like I'll just find his name. Hiddleston? Clark Gregg.
Oh, yeah.
Clark Gregg. He like took a question and just did a 5-minute piece on it. And my interview was like 15 minutes. I'm like, not helpful.
Yeah, Derek C. in France did that with me, for sure.
About, like, the craft, too. Like, no one's ever going to read this. Like, no one cares.
Yeah, Derek C. in France said about Ryan Gosling that we're like brothers from another mother.
Oh, God. Like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah. He also said, he's talking about the Mendelsohn, the Australian guy. And I was asking him how he found out about that guy and stuff. And he's like, he came in, he's like, look, mate, I don't want to audition, but I will carry a spear for you. And I was like, all right, you're hired. And I was like, whoa, 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 back up. So some guy just said he would carry a spear for you and you cast him because of that? He's like, yeah.
You're like, I'll carry a spear.
I'm like, what is that even? What? he's like, I refuse to audition, but I will carry a spear for you.
All right, so I don't own any spears, but I will go get one now if you want me to.
How about you carry my spear in your mouth?
Hey-o. Oh,
sorry.
He did say that Mendelsohn showed up to the audition wearing a bracelet that he didn't know if it was from a party or from a hospital, which that was an interesting tidbit. And also offered that, like, the character as written was missing a tooth, and he offered to get the tooth, like his two front teeth pulled at the dentist.
Oh, God.
And they were on their way to the dentist when he said, we don't necessarily need to pull your teeth.
Here is the most annoying thing that interviewees do besides being stupid is when they start interviewing themselves. They ask themselves questions. Yeah. So like Clark Gregg, is that his name? Yeah, Clark Gregg. He truly was like, you know, when I look at a script, what do I like to do? Do I like to read it aloud? Do I like to go to a fire and read it by there? Or maybe have my spouse read it? Or do I like to just sit down with it and do an hour or two with it? Well, it's got a little of all those, you know? And it's also about just having the right snack around. And you're just like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, why is this still going on?
Yeah, at a certain point, you get the feeling that actors...
Like, why don't you just whip it out and masturbate on me, and we'll call it good.
Actors are so used to using non-concrete thoughts that they just talk, and they're used to talking and people nodding.
Yep.
And you just sit there thinking, you have not made one coherent thought. I have no idea what
you're
talking
about. The world
about.
Is quiet on set.
Yeah.
Right? This is my time to shine.
Part of it, too, is they are probably getting asked 98.9% all of the same questions.
Oh, for
sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But I also...
Do you see a little bit of yourself in this character?
What was it like to work with J.J. Abrams?
Oh, God. I do want to play that. On that note, the Jesse Eisenberg interview. I don't know if you guys have watched this yet.
I have not.
Nope.
What is it from?
This reporter, cute girl from Univision ABC joint venture, and she went to interview Jesse Eisenberg for Now You See Me, and she ended up writing
that movie looks so impressively terrible.
Yeah, like I don't understand. I don't want to see a heist movie about magicians because they could just magician that shit out of there. Why do they need to have a heist? Magic.
Oh, check your bank account.
Yeah. Dude, have you heard, I'll let you get into this, but have you heard of Desert Bus?
No.
The Penn thing? You know Penn and Teller?
Oh, yeah.
Penn Jillette.
Penn invented a game for, I think, like, Sega CD, Genesis, or Saturn, whatever the CD one was, and it's 8 hours of driving a bus on the same highway that pulls a little to the right from Reno to Vegas or something. And when you get there, you get a point, and then you can drive back.
I don't even get it.
Because so the impetus of this was Jan Arino said games were too realistic.
Uh-huh.
So he invented a game where you drive a bus, right? But there's nothing. Like, there's no... like, the scenery is the exact same the whole time. And 5 hours in, the window splats with an insect. That's the only action the entire time.
Wow.
And so people have created, like, these clubs where they do the desert bus. Anyway.
That's really weird. Okay, so this chick interviewed Jesse Eisenberg at a press junket. And this is what she wrote about the interview. I'll play you the interview, but Jesse Eisenberg is the quick-witted bully you think he is. He's smart, sharp, and mean. My goal at the press junket for his new movie was to loosen him up and have some fun, but I should have known better. He didn't let me make him look like anything other than who he wanted me or the public to see. I caught him smirking at my attempts to be funny a few times, but he would immediately catch himself and insult me. Yes, he compared my use of props to carrot tops. Having a conversation with Jesse Eisenberg...
You brought props to an interview?
...was like having a conversation with my stubborn-as-a-mule older brother. He has to counter everything you say. But unlike my brother, who I am able to get up and walk away from, I had to sit through 5 minutes of torturous conversation.
Oh,
5 minutes?
God.
And here, now you can see the actual interaction. I know exactly where it goes wrong here, but I think it's kind of funny. Their continued misunderstanding each other.
Okay. So Freeman plays a magic debunker.
Freeman? Who are you?
Yeah.
Freeman?
Yeah.
What, are you on a baseball team with him?
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine.
Okay.
Morgie. Morgie plays a magic debunker.
Right.
You know, he reveals these magician's secrets.
Yeah.
So I want to play a little game.
Okay.
Where you debunk some secrets.
Okay.
Okay.
She's doing the thumb trick.
This is a nightmare.
That one, I think what you're doing is you're putting your thumb under your pointer finger. You're bending this one.
Can you do it?
Yeah, I think it's something like this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the problem with the trick is that the thumbs don't look like an end of a finger.
You just have a fat thumb.
No, my thumb's fine, thank you. But what did you write on your hand?
Nothing.
Well, I saw there was a lot of things. What was it?
A lot of things.
Are they questions?
No.
Are you secretly hiding questions for the interview? You're wondering what it's like to work with Morgan Freeman and you can't remember that? Don't call Morgan Freeman like you're on a little league softball team with him.
I heard that you have a snap card trick that you learned or something.
Sure, yeah. You brought a card?
A lot of cards.
Do you know the comedian Carrot Top?
Yes, horrible.
Well, you were like the Carrot Top of interviewers.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. No, and it's a good thing. It's
I'm
a good thing.
Cry now.
No, don't cry now. Cry.
See here, she takes total offense. Like he was comparing her because of props, but because she said he's horrible before he got to the Carrot Top,
she assumed
he meant she's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. And
it sounds like she wants to do it with him.
It kind of goes south from here. Because now she's like, she's in hurt mode.
Oh.
She's in backtrack.
After the interview's over. Because otherwise I'll look like I'm responsible for it. Okay, so.
Well, you are.
Well, I didn't want to know that, though.
Okay, well, so you know now.
I said your name into camera. What else do you want from me?
A magic trick.
Okay.
All right, so we can wrap this up.
Hey, you're on my time. Okay. Okay, choose the card from here.
Okay.
Look at it, obviously. You can show the camera, you know. Yeah. Romina. Now put it back anywhere in the deck. Okay. Now, do you remember your card? Are you thinking of it?
Sure.
It's not important. Okay. Could you point out where you think the card is? You're right. It is in the deck. Okay. So wait. Oh, you think it's on top?
Yeah.
You think it's the top card?
Yes.
So I'm going to take the top card off, and this should be your card then?
Yes.
Really?
No.
It's not. Is it your card? I mean, it doesn't matter.
No, it's not. It's not my card.
I don't need to be amazed. I already know how it's done.
It's not.
Okay. Is that your card?
Ooh.
See? Are you happy you lied to the point of almost not appreciating
Can I just have you say my
name
to the camera, Romina?
Yeah, he's really like, where he's like, you're on like a little league softball. You wanted to ask me what it was like to work with Morgan Freeman. You needed to write that down. Then you call him Freeman, like you're on a little league softball team together.
He's very quick witted, and she's all like, oh, Jesse. You know, like
she was going with it at first, but as soon as he got to the Carrot Top thing, she decided to stop playing along, and he was still ball bustingly flirting with her, but it was just like kicking that cat with a thunder shirt on. Like it refused to stand on its feet after that.
Yeah, she all of a sudden instantly turned from like it seemed like she thought she was being really funny in her own head, and then he flipped it around and she's like boo hoo, and then so she didn't want to have fun anymore. That's the impression that I got.
Yeah.
And he's just like, look, lady, I've got 50 more of these today, so let's just, you know, I'll do whatever. I'll play along and do a magic trick.
The you're on my time is wildly aggressive. I like that.
Yeah. The question I have is I couldn't tell if he was not aware that she was hurt at that point or whether he was just like, fuck it, I'm going to keep being mean because I've dug myself in this far.
And it's just like they must do so many fucking – like he doesn't even remember at this point the difference.
Yeah, like who cares? That's what he's like.
He's doing 100 of these.
He also seems a little autistic. So
he's weird. When on the 30 minutes or less press thing, he sat there. He had like a piece of – he had like, I think it was like script pages, and he was like chewing on it. Or no, it was probably the fact sheet, and
he was chewing on paper.
He was chewing on like he had sort of crumpled it up into and was sort of chewing absentmindedly chewing on the corner of it.
Oh, gross!
aggressive.
Michael Cera's a lot like that to interview.
I joke with my brother that Jesse Eisenberg is, his name is Michael Cera.
Yeah, he's a lot like that.
Yeah,
he's funny though.
I like Eisenberg better, but they're,
I'll still take that than Dead Behind the Eyes.
No way. I don't like Michael Cera.
I don't like Eisenberg. Well, he plays that same like pointy autistic kid.
Well, Michael Cera plays the same in every movie too.
Michael Cera is better at it though.
Playing the same thing for every movie. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
All right. I think Vince. Any other news stories? Anything?
Oh, lawn chair.
I think we did it.
Brendan dipped, didn't he?
I think we did.
No,
Brendan.
No, I'm still here.
Brendan's still here. Thank God. Listening in.
I said that he's kind of autistic. That was the last.
Oh,
time
that's
I said.
Right. That
just happened.
Yeah.
What? Where? I thought that was pre-recorded.
Sorry. We agreed. We all agreed.
It was a drop from
audio drop
from a message or from a soundboard.
What would you advise if that interviewer was on a sales call? What would you?
Just to be more direct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys play fun games with the clients? Where you're like, I brought some props.
No. Who brings props?
Yeah, that is
about some props. This phone call that you can't see, but
that's terrible.
She didn't really bring props. She brought like a deck of cards.
Still, come on. Act like you've been there.
Agreed.
But acting like you've been there is acting boring.
She you try to ask him?
Well, yeah, okay. It's same way in football. Every stupid football coach, act like you've been there.
True,
dude. I don't think I'm ever going to score a touchdown again, so I'm going to fucking dance.
Yeah.
Watch this.
I think your obligation is to the people who want to know what it was like to work with J.J. Abrams, and you go from there.
For every actor?
Yep.
There's an equal and opposite reactor.
What was it like to work with J.J. Abrams? Well, he's really short. I spent a lot of time setting drinks on his head.
Or I call him Abrams. What was it like to work with Abrams?
Yeah.
Jage.
Jage.
J squared.
Jimmy Abrams.
What do J.J. stands for?
Jeremiah Josh...
Jehoshaphat.
Mm.
I think it was on. It might have even been.
I think it's Jizzy Joe. It's his frat nickname. Jizzy Joe Abrams.
Jizzy Joe. Jizzy Joe. Oh, Jizzy Joe.
I think we should give all celebrities frat nicknames.
Well, let's start off with Jizzy Joe Abrams.
Yeah, like that. Spinach, Jizzy Joe, Dozer.
I mean, we've kind of been doing that on Film Drunk for a long time. That's Michael true. F. Aspender.
That one I like.
That's not even a... That's just punctuation.
That's true.
I liked...
It's a highbrow frat name.
Yeah. That's, I really liked... I was sad that I didn't think of Christ of Waltz.
That is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got too many tabs open. You need to be focusing more on mixing up celebrity names.
I think if you want to know how to do a press junket interview, just study Between Two Ferns. Because
yes,
some of those questions, like where he's talking to James Franco and he's like, out of all of your artistic endeavors, all your projects that you're involved in, which one do you think has made people roll their eyes the hardest? It's just like the perfect. I mean, that's
the perfect question.
That is the perfect question. He doesn't get better than that.
I think Daniel Day-Lewis said something like, interviews are God's great joke on me or something.
Yeah, I bet.
But he probably doesn't have to do them anymore, right? Like,
I mean, what are you going to find out about that guy other than he's a
chameleon? He's a crazy person.
Yeah.
He should be the main
character. No, if you're really big, you generally don't have to do them. Like, it's not like Robert De Niro is giving you one-on-one.
He gave me a handy behind an Arby's once.
Bobby De Niro does not do interviews.
Yeah. Bobby D is not coming down for New Year's Eve to tell you what it was like to... You know, look at the New York skyline. And
good luck booking Danny DeLu.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, Laramie, thanks for coming on, man.
Well, thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Everyone's, I hope you don't miss me too much. I might make some appearances, but I'll be gone for a while.
That's weird. You're going to be sticking your peenie in people.
Well, if it does happen, I hope they're females.
Perfect world, but... You know, like any port in a storm.
Can't be too choosy.
Hey, and when you're in freaking Vietnam, it's going to be all bets are off, right?
I don't think they take bets there.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the lines are off.
I think they do take bets. Did you see Deer Hunter?
Ooh. True.
A lot of your hang-ups about sex are going to be just thrown out of the window.
I've already signed up for that tour. Yeah.
Weren't they across the Cambodian border in that one? Or were they
I haven't seen the movie in so long. Yeah.
remember.
You can throw out the playbook.
Fucked up movie.
The most fucked up thing about the movie isn't the Russian roulette. It's the fact that there's a wedding scene in there that's like more than half of the running time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is this wedding scene so?
I don't understand how Ben gets to take like 12 weeks to Asia off.
It's just six. Like, it's half
that
time.
He got laid off with pay.
Even so.
It's called a paid vacay, Laramie.
And what are you going to do to his house when he's gone is the other question. Can we have parties there, Vince?
We can.
I'm so nervous.
I'm going to jack off on everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and do a standing jack on all the furniture.
That's what he's always wanted to do. Yeah.
It takes a while, you know. I'm not used to the standing jack. That's a new...
Dreams can come true.
Yeah.
That's part of his make-a-wish. It's a very lengthy one.
Mm-hmm. I would be worried. In 6 weeks, you come back, and that place could be just destroyed.
Oh, just I can't even open any doors anymore. They're just covered in ectoplasm.
Everything's sticky.
I'm going to have three guinea pigs, a parrot. A
crust on your table.
A couple slaves locked up in the closet. What are they doing? Do they just want to live
my interns. Leave my interns alone.
Where is the intern? Is he all right?
He's gone. He put in his 2 weeks already.
Really?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That was quick.
Cited poor working conditions.
I don't think it was probably a quarter-ish.
He cited, well, we better make sure he doesn't get college credit for that shit.
He got what he needed out of the relationship.
He did.
He cited only lukewarm nacho cheese.
Oh, yeah. So if anybody, no one's going to be listening, but I will need another intern.
I think a post would be more apropos than.
Yeah, whatever, bro.
Than a sign-off at the end of a broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, Brendan.
All right. Speaking of which. All right. Well, Laramie, thanks for coming on as always.
Thank you, sir.
At Laramie on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
You can always email us, frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
Booyah. All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next week, good night and good chins.
Hold on.